This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Brett, I am not happy today.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Well, you know it's my eternal quest to find the golden raspberry at Hopkins Raspberry Festival. Hopkins Raspberry Festival is coming. It's kicked off today, I think it is. It runs through the weekend. They got that huge parade on Sunday, so that should be good fun. And, of course, fireworks, and they got tons of vendors. It's going to be a good time. Go ahead, head over to Hopkins. It's a good time. It's one of the better events. One of the things they do is they hide a golden raspberry. Now, that sounds dirty, but it actually is just it's kind of a coin with a yellow coin with the raspberry on it. And if you can find it, well, you have eternal glory to your name. That's what it is. So today, clue one comes on out. Hopkins Raspberry Festival is back for 89 years. It's young at heart for golden raspberry clues. Times are wasting, so let's get a start. It's somewhere not official or judicial, but rather beneficial to the people to view, near construction, but not an obstruction that allows certain folks to pass through. All right. Now we're talking. Someone found it already.
No way, really?
Damn it! Yeah, they found it already. It happened within 4 hours of them putting it out there. So I don't know who the idiot was that hit it, but dang it. Anyway, my quest is over in 4 hours this year.
4 hours. Wow.
I'm going to be like Flavor Flav, man. I'm going to get it 1 year. I'm going to put a chain around my neck. And I'm going to wear it for a year because that's kind of how that's how it should be. Showers, bedtime, everywhere. Bing. That's all I'm just going to say. Bing. Should get you into to reserve table at any restaurant in town there, should. You would hope so.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts, man. This hurts.
That's early to find it. Wow.
Oh, they've had that happen before. I mean, I think the Winter Carnival didn't win the Winter Carnival. Someone found it on the first day one time. I mean, at some point, I could swear that was what happened. Yeah, it happened. Sometimes it's the last day. Sometimes it's the first day. Why does the golden raspberry torment me so? Why does it torment me so, Brett? I'm a hollow shell of a man right now. I don't know if I can do the show. But I got Stein coming in. I guess I can. That makes it easy. I mean, Jeff, go with your blabbity, 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 blab. You know, I can just kind of do that.
Need Stein to put you in the better mood.
Oh, God. Are we that dark? Are we that dark? No. We'll get through it. 9529. Congratulations to whoever found it. And if you've not been to the Hopkins Raspberry Festival, it's a hoot. It's good fun. Head on over there this weekend. They're having a good time. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Okay, so I want to, before I get into this next thing I want to talk about, I want to give you a little bit of an idea of who exactly I am when I approach this job and when I approach what I do, why I do what I do. There is method to the madness, and I know that might not seem like it is, but there is method to the madness for what I do. And it comes in twofold. One of the things is I don't ever want to get too freaking, well, I don't think this is even possible, too freaking high on myself or too self-accolading. A long time ago when I was working traffic, there was a radio station, I'm not going to say which one, and I'd talk to them and they would chew me out because they talk about their audience size and we're the biggest in town and blah, 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 blah. And it wasn't, I mean, I don't think it was the biggest in town, but they seemed to think so. And he criticized me and he said, you need to, treat us better. I said, no. I treat everyone the same. And I don't care if it's some rural station out in Wisconsin that was getting our traffic reports, or the actual biggest station in town, you all get the same product and you all get the same kind of thing. That's kind of how I do things. That's who I am. And I never wanted to be like that. I don't ever want to be to the point like, don't you know who I am? Because you know what? No, I mean, if you have to say that, they don't, you even yourself know that's the case. So for me, it has a lot more to do with, in that regards, is just making sure I keep an even, I don't go over the rails. I stay in the lane, that sort of thing. The other thing that I try to do here, and this is when I got hired here a long time ago, I listened to some of the progressive radio that was out there, and this goes the same thing for conservative radio. There's too much of it, which is the outrage of the day, and that people are trying hard to turn something into a bigger issue than it really is. And I don't really need to do that. I mean, heck, if you listen to the show, if I don't have something that, political to talk about, I'll bring in the Guthrie Theater. I'll bring in, we'll do a COVID update with Dr. Joe. We'll, there's a lot. Terry John Zilla yesterday, we talked about State Fair Foods. I like talking about things that are not necessarily politics. And I know there are some people out there that want the politics all the time, but I'm not going to force something. And I don't want to force something. Now, that is why I kind of step back after the first story we talked about yesterday, the one you informed me of, that the Minnesota Republican Party has $53 in the bank. Not only do they have $53 in the bank, but they also have $334,000 in debt. That's their FEC filing.
It's a little more than the cash on hand.
Yeah, that's that's like, oh boy, you're going to have to start clipping coupons over there, guys. And yeah, that's in case you're missing the lead there. That's not a lot of money in the bank, and that is a lot of debt they've got there. They've got some real issues, and it's kind of one of those things where this morning I woke up and I went out to the news sites in town here, the Star Tribune, Pioneer Press, the TV stations, all of them, all four of them, some of the other sites too. Nothing. The story I read, what was the, where you found it originally was Political Wire, right?
Yeah. They pulled it from the FEC.
Yeah. Political Wire had it. And then Raw Story, the national guys had it, but it wasn't, that was kind of a national thing. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a story, especially when we can go back. Let's go back in time to a hilarious moment here. Back in 2012, when the Minnesota Republican Party faced an eviction hearing next week over unpaid rent because they were broke again. I think since I have been doing this show, they have been broke three times, if I'm not mistaken. Three times they have been bankrupt. Or not bankrupt, but broke. They've had no money. The Minnesota GOP is not being kicked out of its office, said GOP chairperson Pat Shortridge. We have successfully negotiated with our creditors. In most cases, our landlord took the unfortunate step, which we are certain they are certainly within their rights to do in bringing the matter to court. We believe we're on track to settle this matter without further legal action. We'll go in the days. Now, that was once again 2012. Yesterday's story, Minnesota has not voted for a Republican presidential contest over 50 years. The longest in any state in the country has gone without doing so, but the GOP still managed to elect a number of noteworthy Republicans. Now, the latest filings with the FEC, so the Republican Party in Minnesota just has $53.81 in the bank, not even enough money to buy a single Amazon Fire tablet with the Prime Day discount supplied. By contrast, the party is reporting almost $334,000 in debts. And I'll get to a little bit of this here in a second. So to a point, I'm stunned. So I step back and I say to myself, okay, Matt, is this just Matt wanting a story there? Matt feeling like this is a big story that should be got out there, kind of trying to assert myself that this should be a big story, or, just trying to create an outrage of the day situation, right? Is that what's going on? And I keep coming like, no, because there are two things I keep bringing up that make me say, okay, why exactly is this not being covered in the local news? Number one would be this, and I want everyone to just take a quick sec, okay? Imagine this was the DFL. Do you think the DFL would be getting covered if they declared bankruptcy? Of course they would. Come on. Of course they would. It would be top of the fold, top of the page in this Tribune and the Pioneer Press. It would be the lead story or the second story on any of the TV stations. The far right news outlets would be going crazy with rage excitement about it. And so the question I have, I mean, and this is the legit question, is that, okay, if I can undoubtedly say that if this was the DFL, and if it was the DFL, there's undoubtedly in my mind, this would be getting covered. This would be getting front page. Why is it not now? Is it because it's like, oh, guess who's bankrupt again? You know, is that what it is? Is it the fact that, you know, still, and I've talked about the noise machine of the Republicans is that they basically can go on out there and push really, really hard at trying to get certain things covered. And in turn, you would make the argument, then they probably can go out there and in turn push and get things not covered. And I'm not talking about, I mean, if you go out to rural Minnesota, I guarantee you that all the radio stations out there, that the owner has already looked at the jocks that are there and saying, if you say a bad thing about a Republican, you're fired. And I mean, and you think I'm joking. No. That's kind of the way it is out there. Doesn't mean that they don't get equal time and stuff like this, but you know, if you don't badmouth Republicans in rural Minnesota, that's just because that's the way they've set the system up. But we're not talking about that. I'm talking about the Twin Cities Metro. And yet this story is buried, and I'm just stunned that it is. Here's the other reason why, and this is the one that makes me kind of chuckle, if you think about it a little bit. What is the Republican Party's message today? It really is twofold. It's hate transgender people and drag queen shows, right? That's one. And two, we're the party of fiscal responsibility. Those are it. And you can look at me and criticize me all day long. I'm not the one that tells these people this. It's not like, does anyone think the Republicans are not, they're not the party of education. They're not the party of the environment. They're not the party of transportation, health and human services. Of course not. They're the party of fiscal responsibility and hating on transgender, LGBTQ, and the drag queens. And that's all they are today. Now, we used to in this country have political parties where the primary tenet of the party was they don't drink, okay? That they were not drinkers, that they were against alcohol. Say you had a we're against alcohol party, and constantly their politicians are caught drinking and driving. And every time you go to one of these no alcohol party, you know, get togethers, there's open bar and everyone's sloshed. Hey, aren't you guys anti drinking? You would say to yourself, well, that's a bit of a news story, isn't it? The anti liquor party drinks like fishes. It writes itself. It really does. So when you have a political party whose entire mentality, their narrative, their entire, you know, stage set is we are the party of fiscal responsibility, and they continually have zero money in the accounts. Zero. Isn't that worthy of a question? Oh, I don't know. Hey, you guys claim to be the party that can fix Minnesota's budget issues, yet you can't even keep your own budget in line where you have $53.81 in the bank, and $334,000 worth of debt. It would seem that you're not very fiscally responsible. Do you care to comment? I don't think that this is necessarily a reach. I don't think I'm trying to create a news story. I don't think I am being necessarily biased. I am basically bringing up a point. Where the hell are the freaking political journalists in this town? Because that's a legitimate question. And it should be a question that's asked of all of them. How is it possible that we should trust the Republican Party of Minnesota with any budgetary advice when the party is constantly broke? It's like that one roommate who basically is there. They've got one dried ramen noodle that they're eating slowly for the week because that's the only food they can afford. And you're asking him for investment advice. You know, no, it's not a good idea. You're not going to get some good ideas. Do you like ramen? Yeah, okay. Sure. I know where you're going to sink all your money right now. Get the beef. I like those. Seriously. And once again, this is a legit question. Why aren't you guys doing your freaking jobs? Why aren't you guys doing your freaking jobs? Because this is your job, isn't it? Political reporting? It's not my standard, it's their standard. They're the party that claims to be the party of fiscal conservatism. That they're the ones to trust with the budgets, they're the ones to trust with money. We are the best at it. And they are, at least in the last 10 plus years, constantly in financial troubles. That would seem like, a news story. Without a doubt in my mind, when you factor in those two things, that the fact that if this was the DFL, without a doubt in my mind, that this would be getting covered and it'd be top of the fold, number one news story in town, Democrats are bankrupt. With the same political reporters applying the Republicans' standard to the Democrats. Like, well, how you say you're a fiscally responsible party. How can we trust you if you're bankrupt all the time? They would be doing that. Plus the fact that there is the easy freaking layup of a political question. Your party says you're the party of fiscal responsibility, yet you're constantly bankrupt. How can you make those two things work together? Doesn't it lead to a lack of credibility on the issue? And it's not like we're talking about some Republican who's never been pro-environment, and one day their company is found spilling toxic waste into a lake, and so, you know, and they come out and they do this, well, we're going to clean it up. That's not what we're talking about, because they've never really pled to being the environmental party. But yet, here we are with this. I think it's a valid question. And for the life of me, I can't understand why one of the two major political parties in the state, and I'll tell you what, let me come on back. Let me explain to you why this is a huge problem for the Minnesota GOP and why this is a huge problem for the Minnesota GOP and why this is actually another angle you could put on this very simply. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. It is the Matt McNeil Show, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stein here in about 10 minutes. So here is why this is a huge problem for the Republicans. So they've got the Senate race, which is going to be, who are they going to run against Klobuchar? Who? Who would they run against Klobuchar?
Kurt Bills was my favorite.
Kurt Bills. Neuberger, the racist, racist representative from Becker. Yeah, I remember him. Neuberger. Who are they going to run? Let's legitimately ask the question. Would Stauber run against her? Stauber would get destroyed in the metro area. He would get destroyed in the metro. So he I think he thinks his best chance at going back to D.C. is 8. So, no, I don't think that's going to do it. Kitzner, Emmer and Fischbach are dead on arrival. Neither one of them will win anything in the metro area. So they're done. I'm not even going to throw out like Jennifer Carnahan or something like that, for goodness sakes. It'll be a nightmare. So you're already at a massive disadvantage. Maybe like Michelle Tafoya. That's who my gut feeling is going to be. It's going to be someone like Michelle Tafoya is going to try to run and, you know, and try to be the candidate there. But, you know, I'm going to point out the thing about the Republican Party is to win the primary with a group of people who are somewhat misogynist and racist. Good luck with that. I don't know if that's going to go as easy as you think it is. But that being said, I don't, you know, they're already going to be at a massive disadvantage with the Klobuchar race. The House races, I mean, we brought up the question yesterday, will they even run anyone in two? Will they? I mean, they probably will against Angie Craig, but will they run anyone of any consequence against Phillips in three? Probably not. And they're going to have a hard time holding eight. I think Stauber, especially when it comes to the infrastructure projects up there he voted against and then him trying to take credit for them, that hurt him. I talked to a few people when I was up there and they were saying, yeah, he sounds really kind of, you know, sleazy now. So that's going to be interesting to see. Kistner, depends on who the Democrats run. The DFL runs a good candidate down in one. That could be. So they're already going to have, you know, money spread out there. Then comes, okay, then the next big race is the Minnesota House, because the Senate's not up for a re-election until 2026. So it's the House, and the last I checked, the DFL has the majority, which means the Republicans will have to pick up seats, which means, and this is where this becomes a problem, because I've had a lot of people saying, Matt, the PACs. Yeah, to a point, but that money is all going to be filtered into the federal races. Maybe a handful of the Minnesota House races, but there's going to be a lot of the Minnesota House races where they're going to look at them and they're going to say, you know, we have no money for you. We have no money for you. We're just not going to, you're on your own. You have to do this on your own. And reminder, they've got some vulnerable seats too in the Minnesota House. So this is already a major problem. So, okay. So say you don't want to, you know, you don't want to report it, even though I highly bet that the political reporters of this town would report it if it was the DFL. Fine. You don't want to report it, even though this is the party that claims to be fiscally responsible, is clearly not fiscally responsible. And that's a legitimate question. That's their standard. You're just asking them, why can't they live by their standard? So you don't want to ask that. Well, why don't you ask it from the perspective of how do you guys think you're going to win the Minnesota House if you basically are bankrupt? Or I shouldn't say bankrupt, but broke. Broke is the right term. Todd is in Ramsey. He wanted to chime in on this. Let's get him in before Stein. Welcome on in, Todd.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking the call. You've laid out the Republican hypocrisy on fiscal, we'll call it irresponsibility, very well. But let's not forget two others. They used to be the party of law and order until, of course, their former president, preferred candidate, pardoned. They used to say, if you did the crime, you do the time. Well, he pardoned Manafort. He pardoned Stone. He pardoned Sheriff Joe. You know, he's pardoned all the people that have committed crimes, but they had to do no time whatsoever, and very little to say about the people that assaulted police officers at the Capitol. So the former Law and Order Party isn't at all anymore. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, their big love for children doesn't extend a moment beyond when the child is born. There's just no support by the Republican Party to help children once they're alive. So you laid it out for fiscal irresponsibility, but let's not forget they're hypocrites in a number of different areas.
And Todd, if I can add one more, and thanks, Todd, I appreciate the phone call. If I can add one more, party of personal freedom. They used to be the party of personal freedom, individual freedom. And now they can't get into your house and dictate what kind of life you can live fast enough. And they are definitely a broken party. 952. As a matter of fact, that actually is going to be a theme, because there are a lot of bad signs right now for Republicans and the right in this country. Jeff Stein will join us when we do return. We'll talk to him a little bit about that. Plus, the Tuberville holding on that hold on the military commanders. We'll talk about that as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, as well as TotallyIowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, the Iowa Politics Report. Come to us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where Jeff is currently located. Well, are you located there? I should ask. You are around the state quite a bit.
I'm a rambling man.
You are. Where are you? Are you in the station, or are you on the road?
Yeah. No, I am in. Do you not see the image? I have to look at you. You don't see me.
I'm smart.
That's a really good point. No, I am ensconced in my studio in downtown Waterloo, Iowa.
All right. There we go. I see us now.
There it is. Ugh. Oh, and names just popped up on the screen, too. All that's helpful so people know who is who.
Yeah, there you go. I think Jeff actually has that in the contract. It says, don't let them confuse us.
That would be McNeil, not McNeil. Yeah, that's helpful.
Does the Iowa State Fair do what the Minnesota State Fair does, which is they released yesterday the list of all the new food items they're going to have at the Minnesota State Fair?
Oh, yeah.
34 of them. Does the Iowa State Fair do that too?
Oh, yes, and I have it. Apparently, yesterday was the day all of this stuff was released, and it's just the most grotesque list of things. Now, let's be fair, for the audience's benefit.
Yes.
You and I, separately,
yes,
enjoy eating.
Yes.
We're big fans of food, but some of this stuff, there's not a chance.
Yes.
Amish donuts. I don't even know what that is.
Is there a guy churning the oil hot? I mean, that's going to take a while, I think.
It could. Bacon and sweet corn lobster rolls.
Okay, you're just killing the lobster flavor then.
Well, I mean, why screw up good bacon?
You know, okay, I guess so. Priorities.
Bacon cheddar pretzel dog.
Okay, that's something you can get at the mall.
Buffalo chicken bacon ranch fries.
Buffalo chicken. Is there chicken in there, or is it just buffalo chicken as an adjective?
Or is it buffalo meat? Yeah, I know I have.
Well, that's South Dakota's.
Oh, here's one. Catfish in a boat or on a stick.
Okay,
that's what you need. Catfish on a stick.
Hey, they have a walleye sandwich at the Minnesota State Fair, which is to die for.
Sandwich, okay, but all right. Here, let me give you one more: deep fried strawberry shortcake on a stick.
Okay, now, of the things you've done, now you're getting state fairy there. Now that's where you're getting in Minnesota. The only one of the ones that there were the ungodly sweet ones that you and I could easily look at like, I'm not going to get that because it's going to be too sweet. And right. We have a plethora of pickle-related ones because last year one of the big items was pickle pizza, pickles on top of pizza. And I made the point, I said, the crust wasn't that good, the sauce wasn't that good, the cheese wasn't good, and the pickles weren't that good. But yet, because that was one of the hot
together.
Items. Yeah. No, it wasn't. Not really. No. but the only one that I really kind of is the big X because no, is the deep-fried lutefisk. That they're going to do. And that's like, okay, now you're just trying to be way too quirky Minnesotan.
Pork belly pinwheel. I have no idea what that
is. Now we're talking.
Here is your absolute prototypical state fair food. And I'll agree, deep fried lutefisk or whatever. Yeah, you're trying too hard. But here's what we have.
Yeah.
Iowa Twinkie jalapeno filled with pulled pork, corn, and cream cheese. Wrapped in bacon, smoked with sweet and sticky barbecue, finished with ranch.
Okay, wait a second here. A Twinkie.
I'll go slower.
A Twinkie.
Iowa Twinkie.
An Iowa Twinkie.
It's called the Iowa Twinkie.
Okay, it's good.
Iowa Twinkie.
All right.
Jalapeno filled with pulled pork, corn, and cream cheese. Okay, got that image.
All right.
Wrapped in bacon, smoked with sweet and sticky barbecue, and finished with ranch.
Oh, God.
Is there
ranch.
Any part of any of your arteries that are not clogged just by hearing that?
It's like a giant picked up a Wisconsin restaurant and just shook it out, and that's what fell. You know,
it's like a Long Island iced tea. It's like somebody used a bar rag, wrung it out in a glass and handed it to you.
Deep fried with a side of ranch dipping sauce. Okay, is the dough like Twinkie dough?
I'm going to go with sure.
Okay.
Because that's, why would you say Twinkie otherwise?
And they're going to be serving that up with a smile on their face. Just how evil. Oh,
the
man.
Dough crazy. I know I said that was the last one. Try this one. Right. Dough, Cool Ranch pickle on a stick. No, I don't care.
Well, that's
dough,
not bad.
Crazy. Okay. Dough crazy.
Dough crazy.
That's a dough crazy sweet stick with chocolate chip cake batter, brownie batter, brownie cookie, chocolate chip dough, monster chair. I mean, okay. Mm-hmm. So you just took all the dough that was left over and then just mushed it around a stick.
I do have one for you though. Okay. You've got to get up there. The Southeast Asian food that they've got at the Minnesota State Fair is amazing. Uh-huh. I did the Union Hmong Kitchen last year. I did I got their sausage. It was phenomenal. And they got they're doing one of those little buns now. So I think at least one of the things I do like is give me some options that are not everything is over the top. You know what I mean? They have one that is a little sweet that I like, which was the Irish butter ice cream on top of a big thick piece of cinnamon French toast, which, I mean, I think that's going to be sweet, but I think that's going to be tolerable. I appreciate creativity like that, but just when it becomes just the on top of it, it gets nuts.
Dill pickle flavored cheese curds.
Oh, God. Well, that's okay. You know, you get a klutzy guy in a Packer bar after about 2 p.m. on a Sunday. That just happens naturally.
Is that sort of like the old Reese's peanut butter cup commercials? You got your chocolate in my peanut butter. You got your peanut butter in my chocolate. And pretty soon you take it to a Wisconsin bar and it's still pickle flavored cheese curds. Yeah, All right.
Yeah, there you go.
That makes sense.
You got your Packers in my Packers. Okay, never mind. Okay. So, question for you. You follow this as well as I do. I think even a lot of the Republicans are tired of Tommy Tuberville because of the hold that he's put on the military leadership. Now he's got the head of the Marine Corps, who's going to be the Joint Chiefs, being held up. And basically he wants the military to do something which they're just not going to do, which is to basically say that active duty military personnel cannot have an abortion. That's what his whole thing is. And until they get rid of that, he will not release them. But I even think now that they've gotten to the point where we're starting to hurt military preparedness by not having the top brass leadership in place, I think Tuberville is starting to lose a lot of his buddies on the right side. Because I saw a lot of them were like, no, 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 this needs to end.
When you go so far, you have to look for an exit. Right? Where's your exit point? How do you get out with saving face? Well, here's his problem. He's been making statements about white nationalism.
Yeah. There's
And that's now generating, and I don't know the context. I can't imagine what the context would be, but I think that he's now getting attention for verbal faux pas that will then undermine anything else he's trying to accomplish with the other deal. So it's sort of like, how quickly can you extricate yourself from this so that you're not affecting preparedness? Because somebody's got to blink, and he's the one who's got to blink at this point. And if you're getting all of these folks ganging up on him because of the unrelated stupid stuff that gets said, well, you've got no supporters left on your core issue.
His whole white nationalism thing, I mean, his excuse was even lamer once. Well, I was a football coach. I said, okay, great. A Southern college, a white college, which basically brought in black football players to utilize their skills to try to win something for yourselves. Yeah, that's not exactly the standard that's going to exonerate you there, sir. But it was at that hearing that happened yesterday, where even the military brass, and I think this is the concern for the Republicans, is that I do honestly think that even under Trump and under Obama, I think the military does try to play neutral as much as possible. But you could hear the stinging rebukes that were coming towards the fact that this is all being held up and that we cannot keep you know, the readiness where it needs to be because of this guy in this show. I don't know. I think the last thing the Republicans want to do is alienate most of the major military brass, because let's face it, when it comes to election seasons, they sure love to lean on, we're the party of military strength.
Well, absolutely. And so if you want to make sure that the military is not woke, that's one issue, and I'm using their language. If you want to make sure that no federal money goes to pay for abortions, and that would include members of the military, which is apparently his issue, okay, that's all great. But when you are arguing about those issues without demonstrable proof that anything that you're fighting affects military preparedness over here, while in making those protests for unproven issues, you then are demonstrably adversely affecting chain of command in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've lost the whole thing, right? It's sort of like you're complaining about lack of military readiness, but in your complaint and your protest, you are directly creating a lack of preparedness. Nobody's going to support that. So somebody needs to find him a way out, because he's obviously not able to talk his way out of it.
No.
Because it just gets deeper and deeper.
I will
when Mitch McConnell makes a statement against you, for crying out loud, it's not exactly the strongest leader in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes out against you, it's like, all right, you've pretty much lost everything.
I will say this, and I'm dead serious. I think Tuberville is one of the stupidest human beings I've ever seen in the House or the Senate. And that's factoring in Louie Gohmert. That's factoring in Marjorie Taylor Greene. I have seen some real gems that have been put in there. Tuberville seems like he is, you know, they find him half the time in his office eating a tub of paste. I mean, it is just, he does not, he's just, I've heard dumb guys.
It isn't paste on a stick. Yeah. That's the question. Is it deep fried paste on a stick?
With some ranch on the side, wrapped here in bacon with a ranch on the side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So this.
No, I mean, you're right. And the thing is, how did he get the job?
Well, because
it's the same reason Tom Osborne became a member of Congress from Nebraska. Although I don't recall hearing that he was as dumb as to eat a jug of paste.
He was not as dumb, nearly as dumb as Tommy Tuberville. That's for sure.
But again, when you're to your point, and I don't mean to paint with too broad a brush, but when your point as the U.S. Senator is to say, well, I know I used to be a football coach. Okay.
I used to work the fryer over at Arby's. I know.
It's an art form to get those curly fries right with the seasoning here. Okay? Yeah,
exactly. All right. This actually brings up a larger issue, though, because the Republicans are kind of stubbing their toes. Democrats, I don't think, are necessarily getting it really well. I mean, they're figuring things out. I mean, Biden going on the attack, going after politicians who are claiming credit for bills they voted against, is a really good sign. And it's getting some good press. And that does put these the Republicans back on their heels a little bit. But there is an insane amount of self-induced problems right now within the Republican Party. Tuberville, we got three state Republican parties that are currently not bankrupt, but broke. Michigan, Arizona, and Minnesota, as of yesterday, has $53 in the bank. You know, that's going to dramatically affect next year's elections in those states.
Yeah.
You have, the Democratic House, their big investigation into Biden is blowing up spectacularly in front of their faces, because at some point, finally, someone asked, okay, who exactly is our expert witness? Oh, it's a guy who's allegedly a spy for China. Okay, that's probably not the guy. And you could tell when even Grassley was like, I don't think there's any value here. Even Ron Johnson was starting to walk away from it. They realized that they bought the talking points from Newsmax and OAN without actually looking at seeing if they had the case. This is all kind of imploding on them, and I don't quite know where they're going, but there's an insane amount of self-induced flubs that they are going with right now. I don't know if it will hold on until 2024, but it definitely is not helping them now.
Well, you can only go so far with either party, frankly, but we'll just talk about the Republicans. You can only go so far by saying, well, you know, we're the minority party in the Senate and we don't have subpoena power. And, you know, so that's up to the House to drive this, because they're, you know, those guys have the majority. You know, I mean, when that's your best argument, and then you have the House, the gang that can't shoot straight. I mean, you know, it's the sort of thing where I think there, and you mentioned Grassley, and he was on the program earlier this week, and I asked about this form and where are those recordings? You know, you went out on the floor and said there were recordings. And he said, and I don't have criticism with his response. He said, you know, my job, I'm in the minority party. People bring things in. I bring it to the attention. Here's this form. It should be public document. And they say they have this. Okay, now go. Right. In other words, it's now the job of others to follow up. Well, where are these recordings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's I get where he's differentiating. He's I can only go this far. But if he had them in hand, he'd probably put the tape recorder up to the phone and share them with me. So I don't know where the disconnect is, because there was a lot of there with this public statement, but not a lot of there afterwards. And it's just interesting to me.
Well, and it's hard enough, I think, for Republicans, because these Supreme Court rulings are not necessarily helping them when it comes to saying we're the party of the masses. But at the same time, you're exactly right. It's one thing to go on out there saying we've got the evidence. And then when the evidence is there, it's like, why do you think I said we had evidence? I never said this. And yeah, you did. And
well, you can't go out there and just grill Adam Schiff for saying we got all sorts of things against Trump with Russia, and I've got evidence, and it'll be et cetera, et cetera. And they say that he just kind of made it up out of whole cloth. You can't do that and then say, well, we have some speculative allegations we can't prove, but by gosh, you guys all ought to pay attention. I mean, what's the distinction? I don't know any distinction as a common ordinary person watching this. So you can't have it both ways.
Let's take a break. When we come on back, I want to get into some other problems that the right is having, not necessarily the Republicans, but it has to do with the fact that there's more financial problems coming down their way for some of these right-leaning organizations. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. By the way, quick question for you, Jeff, off the topic. Yes. I just saw this yesterday. I think it's Farmers Insurance now has said they're going to stop insuring houses in Florida. Do you think the federal government's going to have to create some sort of insurance program for Florida residents? Because right now, I think most of the insurance companies refuse to sell home insurance in Florida anymore because of hurricanes.
Well, unless you want to get into some sort of a national insurance system for that, and we already have flood insurance, national flood insurance that is underwritten. And so you might have that as the precedent. But, you know, any place where you've got claims that are going to outstrip the amortization, you know, I mean, you can't force the company to go out of business.
And by the way,
four words, bacon, cheddar, pretzel dog.
I mean, that's like a rookie entry, man. Come on.
Would you eat it?
Well, yeah, I actually would. I mean, there's nothing that you have said that I wouldn't at least take a bite of. That's for sure. Let's be honest. All right. So more.
Oh, it's the one thing in Florida, by the way, to your serious point, as opposed to my frivolous one. It's the one thing in Florida where a company is leaving and it doesn't have anything to do with Ron DeSantis.
Well, he's sitting there saying, can Disney offer insurance? That's maybe the way for them to do it. All right. So
Scrooge McDuck Insurance Company. That's fantastic. Well done.
Okay. So moving away from the politics and the problems from the Republicans are having some of these, you know, unforced errors. You've got more unforced errors. I'll start with Trump, although he is a politician. He's now quadrupled down on E. Jean Carroll. He's basically saying this. He's going to get... You know, if you're giving money to Donald Trump, you're actually giving money to E. Jean Carroll because she's eventually going to give it there. The MyPillow guy, he is basically, I don't know if you saw this story, they're selling off some of their equipment and subleasing some of their space. That Dominion lawsuit's going to take him out. I really, that's unfortunate because there's a lot of people in Minnesota that work for the guy. And that's, I'm not condoning what he said. He was a loon ball. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that this is going to impact that had nothing to do with his political rantings. And then Ray Epps, this is the story they broke this afternoon. This is the guy that Tucker Carlson just made up as the real villain of January 6th, who was not the real villain of January 6th. As a matter of fact, he's a Trump voter, but now he has filed a major lawsuit against Fox News undisclosed amount he's looking for. I'm going to imagine it's going to be well in the seven, maybe eight figures. So, you know, it's, you got these other things too, where they just can't get out of their own damn way at this point.
Well, the problem is that speech has ramifications. All right. We have free speech in this country. There can be an argument about how robust it is with certain social media outlets, et cetera. Okay, don't care about that. What I'm talking about is we have government. This is the First Amendment. The government cannot stop speech before it is uttered. The government cannot stifle speech, but there is a redress if the speech is harmful. So the government can't tell Mike Lindell, stop talking about these elections, but people can sue for damages. That's the redress. And it's the same thing here. Ray Epps, if he feels he's been wronged, then that's when you bring the news media or the speaker, the individual, whoever it is, you bring them into court and you bring them to their knees financially. And you've seen with some of these verdicts and settlements separately to get away from the danger of a bigger verdict, juries don't have a lot of time for this anymore. And you're really seeing the whole business model. Look at Fox's business model, okay? They were willing, they've now fired Carlson and his staff. They are still paying him, and they've compressed their primetime schedule. So what happens? The audience gets one fewer hour of fresh material so they can pay lawsuits. That's what it comes down to.
It's amazing to me Bartiromo's not out there either, because she's caused him a lot of problems too. Once again, you can hear Jeff on the weekend. We rebroadcast this. We'll get the Iowa politics out a little bit later on. Thanks, Jeff. Hour two is up next. Hour number two of the show here on your Wednesday. Good to be with you, Matt and Brett here today. I am dead serious. Maria Bartiromo, how is she even still employed by Fox News? And she was out yesterday saying this guy, this Chinese spy that the Republicans, because he basically knew, all you have to do is go to a Republican, call a Republican right now and say, hey, I got a tape about Hunter Biden, and it's him doing drugs while he's shooting off a gun towards a daycare. Hey! And do that, and you can hear the sexual excitement of the Republican. Oh, my God. I don't need to fact check any of that. We need to get you to Washington, D.C. immediately. And then all of a sudden, my expert witness, whose name was Mr. Seymour Butts, he apparently, we've been trying to track down Mr. Butts, and you can't seem to find him anywhere. She's already gone out there and said that it's clear that this guy is innocent and he's just running for his life. Dude, he's a Chinese spy that basically played the Republican Party like a freaking fiddle. And even to tell you how much this has permeated down, even the supposedly smart Republicans were all on board with this until someone said, hey, has anybody actually looked into his story? It's like, you know, 20 minutes before the hearing's supposed to start. It's like, you know, has anyone seen this tape that he says he has? No. Do we know the tape exists? And I can just see the room, all of them just kind of looking at each other like, I thought you said it existed. I thought you said it existed. And scene. 952-946-6205. How often do you get out onto a lake nowadays?
Oh, on a lake? Not that often, to be honest. No, I obviously hike and bike around it, but yeah, I don't do a ton of boating.
If you're hiking and biking, that means you're doing the chain of lakes?
Yeah, you know, like, sometimes we do the chain of lakes. Yeah,
area. I mean, are you by many lakes with there a lot of motorized vehicles on them? Because those lakes don't have motorized vehicles.
You can generally not. No,
I have been on a few lakes now where there's a really unfortunate trend, which is the jet ski as a boat thing, and it's kind of obnoxious. Imagine trying to pull a boat trailer with a motorcycle. You know, it doesn't really work.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, yeah.
It don't have the control like this. But people do this all the time. And, you know, it's part of it comes from, I think it actually comes from surfers. Have you ever seen them when they're surfing on those monster waves and they have to actually have a jet ski haul them in there so the jet ski can get out of it so they can do that 100-foot wave as it comes in on like Portugal or something like that? That's where I think it comes from. It's insanely dangerous because it's a freaking jet ski. Add in some liquor, and guess what? An alleged impaired jet ski driver is now facing criminal charges after a tubing incident seriously injured two kids on Watab Lake. Is it Watab, W-A-T-A-B? That's down in down south of us, down towards Pryant Lake, down there, that area down there?
Watab? Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. Yeah.
Prosecutors in Stearns County charged, or is that Stearns? Where's Stearns? That's up in the northwest, right?
Isn't that central? Well, we don't know our geography very well here. Let's do a
map time. Where's Stearns County? See if Stearns County is up to the
That's
north.
That's what I thought. It's like St. Cloud. Yeah, it's just St. Cloud. Yeah, yeah.
Prosecutors in Stearns County charged Ryan Willis, 42, of St. Joseph on Monday with two counts of felony criminal vehicular operation and a misdemeanor DWI in connection with the incident, which happened around 4:45 p.m. on Saturday. According to the criminal complaint, 2 9-year-old kids were riding in a water tube being pulled behind the allegedly drunk Willis on a jet ski when the tube struck a dock. Oh, that had hurt like the dickens. One boy had to be airlifted from the scene with critical injuries, including a fractured skull, bruised lung. The other child was taken to the hospital with symptoms of a concussion and pain. A preliminary breath test administered just over 2 hours after the crash registered 2 hours after the crash. Registered Willis's blood alcohol concentration at 0.148, 2 hours after the crash. He must have been up by 3 or something like that. He must have drank a freaking 12-pack of beer or a bottle of Jack before he went out on a jet ski. Willis told investigators he'd been operating the jet ski when he got too close to the shore, causing the tube to strike the neighbor's dock. The complaint states Willis admitted to drinking, and a deputy on the scene observed signs of impairment, also noted strong odor of alcohol. How did it take you 2 hours to give this guy a breathalyzer? And don't get me wrong, you still got him, you know, nearly, you know, almost 2 times the legal limit. But this was 2 hours after the crash you finally registered his blood alcohol. He must have been something like 2.25 or something like that. And this idiot thought it was a good idea to get on a jet ski with kids on a tow line. And did he not even, here's a legit question. Did he not even realize the kids had hit a dock? Was he like 3 or 4 docks later down the big thing and all of a sudden realized, like, where's the kids? They're injured there on the side of the dock. We in this state, now, you know me, because of what happened in December. I got hit by a drunk driver. I have zero tolerance for this. But one of the things which is sad is not only the insane amount of drinking and driving that happens in cars in this state, but the criminal amount of drinking and driving that happens on boats, jet skis, snowmobiles, ATVs. I saw another ATV accident this last weekend where alcohol was suspected to be involved in the crash. It's just, you're not going to, you know, you got two kids here that got seriously injured because some knucklehead was on a freaking jet ski. Just disturbing. And how, okay, I have to ask the parents, and I understand, I feel sorry for you. And you I've got to imagine there's some connection here that you knew this guy, that it's not just some random guy with a jet ski saying, I'll pull your kids around the lake. How do you look at a guy taking down that much freaking booze and say, yep, I'm going to tie my kids to a rope on the back of that thing and let him pull them around the lake? Crazy. Just crazy. Yet we don't, Matt, come on, Matt. That's out state. That's just some fun that got out of control. Come on, man. Why do you want to ruin that guy's life? I'm tired of it. I am tired. If you've noticed lately, I am every time I've got a freaking story like this, I'm going to tie it to the fact that the right wing media is like, no, Matt, stop talking about that. The only thing that matters is those kids in Minneapolis with fireworks. That's the only thing that matters. You guys are so obsessed over turning fetch into fetch that basically you're ignoring the crises that are out there in outstate Minnesota. I mean, we talked about it last week. The fact that, you know, that just by evaluating the statistics given to the number crunchers from the police, the most dangerous city in the state per capita is Bemidji, then Brainerd, then Waite Park, then Minneapolis, then Virginia, then Mankato. Minneapolis is not the most dangerous place in the state. It's number four. And yet you're far more bothered by the fact that Minneapolis is by far the worst. Don't you dare say it isn't. It is the worst. That's your whole thing, as opposed to saying, oh, dear God, don't us Republicans control Bemidji and Brainerd politics? Why aren't we doing everything in our power to try to address this issue? It just, you guys are just horrible. You guys, because it's the amount of stuff that's fallen through the cracks and the amount of damage that's being really done, because you're ignoring the reality. It's inexcusable. I mean, I posted the story a little earlier today. Some guy, I think it was in Tennessee, left his phone, soccer coach, left his phone at a restaurant. They opened the phone to try to figure out who it was. They found incredibly disturbing videos of this man raping young children. And he is now under arrest. And it's really ugly. And the first thing I point out is not a drag queen. But as you guys sit there and only obsess about drag queens and only obsess about the LGBTQ community, only insist, and try to convince people that your interpretation is reality when it's not even close, guys like that are able to go out there and commit their crimes. But as long as they give a big donation to the Republican Party, guess what? Blind eyes get turned. You guys used to be the party of personal responsibility, and you're not even close anymore. It's a joke. It's an absolute freaking joke. But hey, I guess, all right, more on the fireworks with the black kids in Minneapolis. I guess that's your only story you're covering. 952-946-6205. Let's get Steve in Minneapolis on in here before we go to break. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hi. Yeah, that's pronounced Watab Lake.
Watab, thank you.
Very, very near St. John's University. And yeah, well, I kind of grew up in that area, and the alcohol and boating was just a natural fit. And I've seen many crazy things. I'm kind of glad I got out of there. One time that we were using a boat to pull the tubes, and the old man driving the boat was absolutely insane. And the guy I was riding with was going sideways, probably about 80 miles an hour. And he did 5 cartwheels through the water and lost his pants, but still survived. Wow. So
it's well, and Steve, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. It's not just out in Watab Lake. It's I've talked about how many times when I would take my kids were young, we used to go to the town beach in Wayzata because it's a great little beach. It used to be, the zebra mussels got pretty bad. But we used to go out there all the time, and I would watch on a Saturday morning as, you know, these teenagers, let's just call it what it was underage drinking, would load case after case after case of booze into a boat and head out to Big Island to go tie all the boats together and have a big floating, you know, mobile bar. Party all day long. And in that case, what it took was them all going to the bathroom in the waters around Big Island and basically making each other violently sick to realize, hey, this isn't a good idea. I get it. And there's people right now, Matt, you just don't get it, Matt. It's part of the culture. It's a stupid freaking culture, man. Someone has to say it. I mean, if your entire life revolves around how it's 10 a.m., it's 4 o'clock somewhere, give me a beer. I'm going to go out and take the kids tubing. It's a stupid freaking culture. and it's irresponsible. And in this case, it's kids. And I guarantee you, you're like, well, Matt, that's just one case. Dude, is there ever one case of a drunk on a jet ski seriously injuring 2 9-year-olds that's a good case? I think we in this state, in this country, have way too much of a lackadaisical mentality towards the alcohol consumption. And when you dare kind of go out there and say, well, this is stupid, maybe we should address this, you get people, you just don't get it. No, I get it. I get it. I got my back broken by some guy. I get it. Sorry, I'm sorry, whatever it is. Your life's not working out. You just, you, whatever the case may be, that you have to hit the bottle and you have to drink like a fish. I'm sorry. You think it makes it forget whatever you're trying to forget. Sorry. But the reality is that we've got way too much in this state and in this country of people getting sloshed and hurting people, and we kind of just shrug our shoulders. And I think it's about damn time we went out there and we started saying, no, we've got to start dealing with this in a far harsher way. I lived in Germany, known for its beer. You don't see drinking like you see in the United States in Germany. Not saying it doesn't happen, but not to the levels it does here. Not to the levels it does here. And I'm dead serious. I went to Oktoberfest in Munich. I saw more responsible drinking there than I see on any given weekend on a freaking lake in Minnesota. It's just, yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When I come on back, I've got a section I'm going to call Crazy People. And you'll understand when I do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Brett, I am going to let you choose. Do you want to go with the idiot or the racist? Your call.
Oh, let's start off with the idiot first.
Let's go with the idiot first. All right. Oh, all right. And I imagine you might be one of the many people who have seen this video. A crash captured by the Minnesota Department of Transportation cameras Monday in Coon Rapids shows a pickup driver striking another vehicle ahead of a zipper merge. Did you see that? Have you seen that video yet?
No, but I'm. You got me intrigued with the zipper merge thing. To this, all right. Well,
the individual. It's exactly what you think.
Okay.
He's cutting. He's cutting in line. He's going. I've been waiting. He's cutsies. He's doing cutsies, and he drives into him. Ambulance actually goes up in the scene. I don't know what he's doing. I can't imagine how it's not going to be the pickup driver's fault. I mean, he drives right into that car. That is not doing anything wrong. It's a zipper merge. And Minnesotans, you need to get that. And not all of them. Most of the people, I think, in the state now get zipper merges. Now understand. You wait until the lane ends. You zipper merge there. It ends up going a lot faster. In Minnesota, for some reason, some people with sticks up their backsides like to sit there and say, well, I saw a sign that in 12 miles it's going to be a lane, so I got over now, and now I'm in stop-and-go traffic. And look at all these people in the left lane. They're going past me. They shouldn't be doing that. They should drive like I am. Why are they going past me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to weave out there and try to stop them. No. First of all, to the people that get upset about this, you're idiots. Stop it. They've actually had to put out MnDOT signs saying, wait till the end to zipper merge. Okay? Now, you're not an idiot if you want to get in the lane and wait. That's your prerogative. That's your call. The problem that makes you what makes you an idiot is the feeling like that you have to stop other people that don't want to do what you did, which is merge a hell of a lot sooner than you needed to do it. That is on you. And you and you're angry and you're bitter and you have to take the world out on someone else ramming into a car and serious. It sounds like possibly injuring the individuals in the other car. I can't even begin to figure out what is going on in your life that you thought that was a good idea? And I get it. You're doing cutscenes like you're five and it's kindergarten and you're afraid you're not going to get a freaking cookie. He's doing cutscenes. He's doing cutscenes. Cutscenes aren't allowed. No, it's not cutscenes. You're driving a car. It's called a zipper merge. And no, I don't care, Matt. I'm just trying to be respectful, and they could be respectful too. They don't. That is a standard you have created. You are the one that merged a mile before you needed to. That's not on anyone else but yourself. The MnDOT tells you to wait until the lane closure happens, and then you merge. It's called a zipper merge. It goes a lot faster. I've said before, where I got done with this. I was down in I was driving down 35 in the south part of the state. I was driving back to Iowa years and years ago, and my wife and I are sitting there in stop and go traffic in one lane and the other lane's open, and we kept, it was for miles going really slow. And every once in a while a car would go past in the right hand lane, and I'd see people try to pull into the lane to try to slow them down. It's not your job. And the big slowdown was a lawnmower. It was mowing the center median. Not that the lawnmower was encroaching in on the lane. It said, you know, merge lane may be closed. No, the lawnmower was in the center of the median. It was not impacting the road. But all these people had gone there. I said, I'm done with this. This is just stupid. I wasted an hour of my life basically waiting in this line. And I did not have to. If you are that uptight that you can't look. I live in Hopkins, right? I come down, if you know 169. If you're coming down 169, you're on southbound 169. You go from the exit from Excelsior Boulevard. The next exit is the 5th Lincoln exit, right? That's a 3-lane in between those because the lane that comes up from Excelsior Boulevard stays a lane and then becomes the exit ramp onto 5th Lincoln, okay? That's my exit. That's kind of where I live, down that way, right? I will be in that lane. There'll be stop and go traffic, and I've had people swerve into me because they think I'm trying to cut on the right-hand lane when all I'm trying to do is take the freaking exit. Had one guy was like, looking at me, and I'm like, I live here. Oh, sorry. It's like, freaking morons, man. Stop trying. You're not a cop. But even cops will tell you to wait to zipper merge. I'm pretty sure most law enforcement will not tell you to ram another car because your life is not fulfilling enough and you've got to find some way to win the day and you just mistime your lane swerve. I don't think any cop's going to say, sounds good to me. It is insane. And in this case, if you've not seen the video, I'll repost the video. If you've not seen the video, I mean, we're lucky this person really didn't get killed by this pickup truck driver. Let me read the story. The driver has been approaching the zipper merge on Highway 10 between Round Lake Boulevard and 7th Avenue when the pickup driver suddenly swerves left and slams into the car, sending it partially into the median. Like I said, how in the world you could blame the car, I don't know. It's got to be 100% the truck's fault. The driver of the pickup is then seen stepping out of their vehicle following the crash and hitting the hood repeatedly. Yeah, life's turning out great for you, buddy. An ambulance later arrives on the scene. It's unclear if anyone was injured in the crash. According to MnDOT, drivers who merge early instead of zipper merging can cause more headaches for others, and motorists are instead urged to use both lanes until reaching the defined merge area and then proceed to alternate in the open lane in a zipper fashion. This is MnDOT telling you this. The driver whose car was struck in the video appears to be zipper merging correctly by proceeding to the merge point further along the highway. And for their efforts of driving correctly, they are rammed by Charlton Heston there with the boat, you know.
Have you ever gone on like a news website and read the comments section when they tell you how to zipper merge and just how many people say that's wrong completely? It's impolite. It's inconsiderate. The comment sections on those are just crazy because so many people still don't believe it, even when the article above explains how zipper merges are more efficient.
I have never seen back traffic backups worse because of a lane closure than I've seen in Minnesota. You go to New York, you go to Boston, they don't seem to have any damn problem with this. and it goes a lot faster. I just stop trying to get a victory when just live your own damn life, man. You have chosen to get in that lane. Bravo. Good for you. You got the time to wait there. Knock yourself out. But just because you did doesn't mean other people don't have the right to legally drive down the road because you, as the troll at the bridge, have said, you need to give me Riddles 3. You know, I don't. What is your favorite color? Blue. No, green. Huh? That was Tim the Sorcerer, if I remember correctly, from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Well, sure, certainly beats ramming someone's car as compared to that guy just asking for riddles. Yeah.
I think this is criminal. And I think that maybe this is where you're going to have to get to, is that when you get people that are so belligerent and so insisting they have to be done their way to a point where they're literally jeopardizing other people's lives, that guy should not be driving that pickup truck anymore. He should not have a driver's license because he is just too much of a hothead and doesn't understand the laws of the road and is so uncomfortable with his own choices in his life that he has to take things out on other people. That you should not be driving. You just should not be driving. And, you know, I hope that there are charges that are coming their way. 952-946-6205. So we did idiot. We'll do racist when we come on back. Actually, horrible racist, too, when we do return. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. It comes down there. You would be surprised, as a guy that stared at traffic cameras for years, you'd be surprised what really causes most of the accidents when it's not a winter, not like snow and ice. It's stuff like this. You know, people who stop for some reason because they're concerned about their eyesight is so bad, but apparently they're not reading glasses and that they have to go so slow that they have to read next. Exit Valley View Road. That's not my exit. That's okay, great. Thanks. Glad we could help you out. That was stupid. I got one here that is horrendously. This is not good. A Minneapolis woman has been charged in an incident where she berated a black Uber driver with racial slurs and falsely claimed to police that he had assaulted her. Yep. Now, I'm a little hesitant to use the term Karen because I have some friends whose name are Karen and they really don't like it. And plus the fact that, you know, calling DeSantis' wife America's Karen. Now, I wish I had come up with that one. that's a brutal one. That one's not going away. That one's not going to go away. But we need a different term than Karen for this. Just, you know, horrendously racist is, you know, works, I guess, pretty well in this case. At least allegedly. Jill Bergquist, 38, is accused of filing a false report to police claiming that a black man punched me during the April 22 incident. The Uber driver said the woman kept verbally abusing him with racist language as well as kicking his vehicle. A dash cam video uploaded to YouTube corroborates the Uber driver's claims. According to the criminal complaint, on April 1st, 2022, at about 10:47 p.m., Bergquist called officers to the 2300 block of Hennepin Avenue South. It's 2300 block, so that's... That's on Hennepin Avenue South. I'm trying to figure out where that's at. That's so Uptown Diner's at 26. So is that the old skateboard shop up there? Is that by Franklin? That's up that way, somewhere around that way. Anyway, so is it the 2300 block of Hennepin Avenue? The phone call with a 911 operator. Bergquist was told by the dispatcher to stop using racial slurs. Wow. the 911 operator is telling her. A video taken by the Uber driver shows the woman screaming the slurs repeatedly during the interaction. Charges say Berquist also refused EMS services despite saying she was being punched in the face by the driver. When police arrived, the woman was heard loudly screaming racial slurs directed at the driver. She told officers the man allegedly struck her on the side of the face, but authorities didn't notice any injuries on the woman. Berquist was also heard saying, "I'm white. I live here. Black people don't live here." What? In Minneapolis, said about Franklin. Oh, God. And Franklin and Hennepin, somewhere around there. Wow. That's, it seems like pretty culturally eclectic neighborhood if you have been up there. Have you been there? You've been there, right?
It's, yeah, it's not exactly a very white area.
It doesn't look like Kansas up there, man.
It's a good way to put it.
It doesn't look like Kansas. It looks like a city. And God bless it. I love it, man. It's my town. I love this town. Anywho, after she got done saying black people don't live here, the complaint says Berquist asked police to charge the man with everything. Jaywalking, operating a taxidermy service without a license, everything. Just get him with everything. Charge him with everything.
Stealing classified documents. Charge him with it.
Fireworks. Get him with everything. She asked the police to charge the man. And by the way, with everything is in quotes. So she apparently actually said that. With everything. While continuing to hurl racial slurs at the man with officers present. The driver was not cited with any crime. Officers offered Berquist a ride home. Really? Really? Okay. She did refuse the ride and walked away from the scene. Witnesses who live in the area were interviewed by police and confirmed the driver's account of what happened once they were parked in the neighborhood. Berquist eventually contacted the Minneapolis Police Department, asking law enforcement to review the incident further. She changed her story to include a claim that the driver held her down and that EMS arrived on the scene to treat her alleged injuries. So she refused EMS, but now she's telling the police, "Oh, EMS was there and treated my injuries." All right. By the way, can we not skip past what she's trying to do here? To me, it sounds like she's trying to get this guy shot by a cop. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Trying to basically paint it out. There's this crazed black man here who needs to be charged with everything. He needs to be put down. We need to do everything. You need to get here right away. At least that's what she's trying to do. The amount of racial epithets she used kind of, I think, clued the 911 operator in saying, "I don't know if this is necessarily the driver's fault." A video provided the police that Berquist claims showed the assault. Okay, something's wrong here. Either we're talking some serious alcoholism, other drug addiction, mental comprehension issues, I don't know. But the video she provided to the police claimed to show the assault instead showed her kicking the Uber driver's vehicle with her foot while yelling racial slurs and threats of violence as at the man. EMS also never arrived on the scene. So she's saying, "I've got a video that shows I was attacked." And the video that she gives doesn't show anything like that in any, not even close. Something's going on there. Or else, I don't know. Maybe she was trying to bluff her way into getting charges against the guy. And they said, "Well, we need to see the video." And so when she finally came clean with it, I don't know. Something seems really wrong there. Here's the evidence against me. That's basically what she did. The video provided to police that Berquist is charged with falsely reporting a crime and disorderly conduct. If convicted, she faces up to 6 months in prison, up to a $2,000 fine. A pretrial hearing is scheduled for September 20th. I'm going to tie this with the guy that, you know, there is something going on right now with people. Now, I don't know the political persuasion of the guy in the truck that basically hit the car because, heaven forbid, he drive actually legally. But as I was reading these two stories, one of the things that came up was there have been, just yesterday, there was two, you know, road rage shootings. One murdered a woman in Texas, and another one in, I think it was in Tennessee, where a young girl was shot. She's not dead. She's just injured very seriously. There is an undeniable anger current running through this country right now, which has to be addressed. And the problem is the people that keep stirring up this pot have no intention of trying to calm this crap down. And I think things like this are just going to get more and more and more common, because you get people who are frustrated. Let's make sure we understand, what is the right wing's modus operandi? What do? They basically get people who are frustrated with their life and get them to blame Democrats for why their lives are like this, and convince them that the Republicans are there to save them while the Democrats are there to hurt them. And I think that's been a successful game plan for them for many years, shockingly successful. People are voting against the people that are not making their lives better. And we talked about it with the healthcare story we talked about, and also the crime story in outstate. You got Republicans out there. They're not doing anything to address these issues. Republicans aren't out there offering, a massive increase in spending in mental health issues and drug addiction in rural America. They're not out there dealing when we have the statistical evidence that shows per capita that Bemidji and Brainerd are the worst two cities in the state for crime. They're not offering solutions out there. And the reason why is because if they start doing these things, the feeling they have is that they're basically proving the Democrats' point, that the Democrats will write so that they can't even if they have intent to try to help the people of their community, they're not going to do it because they would much rather have the narrative that they've been screaming as opposed to actually caring about the people that they serve. What seems to be happening is that as they keep throwing more and more rocks at the beehive, lo and behold, they can't control the bees. Now, like I said, this woman, the racist incident, I don't know what her political persuasion is. I have a guess, considering the number of racial epitaphs that she did say. The angry guy who's driving the pickup truck that rams into another car because, girl, you're getting your cutsies. I don't know what your political persuasion is. I can take a guess. This is a current that's coming out there, and I am more and more concerned about Republicans who only seem to be interested in throwing rocks at beehives and don't want to take any responsibility for what the bees do next. Because the bees aren't stinging people. They're killing people. They're hurting people. They're trying to get people arrested. These people have convinced themselves they're the hero of their own story and that they have to save people. We talked about this with the drag queen story hour down in Chaska. When people are running into a private business and berating the staff because, heaven forbid, they do something illegal that they disagree with, I don't quite know where this is going to go, but until the right in this country stops just constantly throwing rocks at beehives. And once again, I get it. The only way you get people to vote for you is, surely you're not on policy. Tie this back to the beginning of the show. My God, I can tie all these shows together today. It's like I've got my conspiracy board with red string going from pushpin to pushpin. But going back to the beginning of the show, I mean, you clearly are not the party of fiscal responsibility. You're not going to win statewide office being the party of hatred of drag queen story hours and transgender people, not in the state of Minnesota. Outside of ag issues, which basically for you means just massive subsidies for the wealthiest farmers at the expense of every other farmer, you're not for the environment, you're not for education, you're not for human services, you're not for health care, you're not for transportation. You're only in it for yourselves. And because of that, and the way that you convince people to vote for you, you consistently just kind of have to keep throwing more and more rocks at the beehive, because God forbid the voters that vote Republican stop and realize who's actually hurting them, who's causing their problems. They're terrified of Democrats starting to win districts which used to be guaranteed slam dunk Republican districts. But this is the consequence. We got an angry world out right there right now. And there are people who are just freaking unhinged, that are bees that have been so agitated, they don't even know they're stinging. Not anymore. And yeah. Republicans need to start reining this in, because this crazy people stuff, this is an offset of the way that they've been able to try to get people to vote for them, even though they don't deliver. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Why you got to give me a fight?
Can't you just let it be? It's Tom.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, if you're just trying to scare people into voting for you, you know, whether it's, you know, black kids with fireworks in Minneapolis, or, you know, yesterday we kind of, you know, eviscerated the Republicans as they insisted, no, Minnesota's the worst state for business in the country. And then we get the report from CNBC, which says Minnesota is the fifth best state in the country for business. Now, you know, I even got more information about this. How about this? Inflation is rapidly cooling in the United States, unless you live in Florida. Residents of Miami, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach saw prices shoot up 9% in May compared with a year earlier. By comparison, nationwide inflation for the same period was less than half that rate, with prices rising 4% in May compared with a year earlier. People living in the Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater area have it slightly easier. Inflation rising at a 7.3% in annual pace, but still much higher than the U.S. as a whole. The reason Florida's painfully high prices boil down to one essential category of spending, housing. Almost 500,000 people moved to the state from July 21 to July 2022, with more than double the number on the prior year, according to the Tampa Bay Economic Development Council. But builders weren't keeping up with the influx, pushing Tampa housing prices up 12% in May on an annual basis, almost 17% in Miami, according to the data from the Bureau of Labor Services. On Wednesday, economists and pundits will be watching for signs of inflation easing across the nation when the Consumer Price Index of June is released this morning, and which, by the way, came back fairly low. I believe it was quite a bit less. The CPI is a basket of goods and services typically brought by consumers, expected to decline from the previous month. The target for the Fed is 2% for inflation. Only two metro areas in the country are at 2% or less. Minneapolis is the best major city for inflation in the country at 1.8% in May. Honolulu was at 2%, but by God, I mean, Hawaii, dear Lord, it's pricey out there. That's according to Labor Department figures. So, here it is. I can tell you what, as I was reading that Florida stuff, it's like, oh yeah, Matt, but get to Minneapolis, get to Minnesota. It's $4 bazillion here. It's the worst in the country. It's the horrible. Actually, we're the best in the country.
Dude, give it up, man. The DFL is delivered. Fifth best state in the country for business. Lowest inflation rate in the country. Below even the Fed standard of 2%, 1.8. Thank you, Governor Walz. And I get it. Just like when I put out the crime data showing Bemidji and Brainerd were more dangerous than Minneapolis. I already know where you're going to go. Yes, that is the worst ever. You see, this is the problem. You can't always just try to scream away reality. You sound like a loon ball, okay? Republicans, you just sound like a loon ball. Now, in a good world, in a perfect world, the Republicans could, I don't know, revisit their policies and their platform and say, you know what, guys, we don't have a lot here that is trying to help people. It's really just trying to help a few wealthy millionaires at everyone else's expense. Maybe we should revisit our policies and try to, I don't know, get some populism back. Of course you won't. Of course you won't. Of course, I'm about to get on social media, once I post the story out today, I can already tell you where this is going to go. I'm going to get, I don't know what you're talking about. I went and bought some Hostess Dig Dots, and they were $79. Oh, those are nice ding dongs, man. thank God you guys. I'm glad we got that on tape. Hey, those are some nice ding dongs. There you go. I got it for you there. You can cut and use that whenever you like, okay?
We might have to do that, yes.
That's your ringtone now. get over it, man. You're losing, and you're losing badly because everything you claim to be, you're not. You're only just trying to really anger everybody into supporting you, and all you're doing is turning more people off and really creating a god-awful culture within our society that wants to lash out whenever they can. And you just want to hate. And you don't care who you hurt or do it, but you're just trying to hate. You're bankrupt all across the board. And you're broke in the bank, too, just FYI. Native Roots Radio is up next. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.